Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verse 19. And the Word now reads, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. I want to talk about the choice is yours. The choice is yours. I'm telling you what, God is preparing his people, getting his people ready for his coming. And in order for people to be ready for the coming of the Lord, we can't back down off truth. Last week we talked about truth versus a lie. When Jesus was praying to the Father, he said, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. So we know that Jesus is the word, and the word that we speak that's coming from the word of God is truth. So we have to be separated. We have to be set apart. We have to be consecrated, made fit for the master's use. So God is saying on today that the choice is yours, meaning that he gives you the right to decide. Some of us try to leave things up to God by saying, well, God, if I do this, you do that. But if you go into the word of God, the decision have already been made. And the great thing about this is God tell you what to choose. He said that blessing, life and death is before you, blessing and cursing. But he said choose life. So he's telling you to choose life. This is why it says that I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. You have a mindset of life. Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So when God was talking to these Israelites, he was reminding them that they're going to be around things that they should not be around, and people are going to cause them to try to do things that they should not do. Look how loving our Father is, how he forewarned us for things that's yet to come. And he was letting Moses know about these Israelites and what these Israelites were going to do. But he said, I'm going to give them a choice, and they have to make this choice for themselves. When you go into Deuteronomy 28, it gives you the blessings and it gives you the curses. But before he gives you all that, he said that you have to hearken diligently unto the voice of God. That means that you have to be willing to obey him no matter what the cost is. If that cost means losing family, friends, jobs, whatever it may be, you have to be ready to obey what the Lord is telling you to do. And he lay it out plainly in the word of God. And his word is not grievous. When God gives you his word, God is not giving you something that you're not capable of doing. Come on, let's just be flat out honest. Flesh don't want to do it. Flesh want to do what flesh want to do. But when you fall in love with Jesus, I hear that songwriter saying it's the best thing that I have ever done, because when you really have a relationship with him, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. You don't try to question him. You don't try to compromise. You don't try to do any of those things. You just say, yes, Lord, just like Samuel. He said, yes, Lord. And when he said yes to God's call, Samuel did not back down. So he was telling these Israelites, okay, I'm going to give you the right to choose. But he said, choose life. God is such a loving God. He give us the right to choose, but he tell us what to choose. When we go right back to the beginning, with Adam and Eve. Here we go again with that tree of knowledge of good and evil. God told Adam, he said, every tree in this garden you may eat of. Isn't that awesome? He gave him the right, the privilege to eat of every tree in that garden. But then he said, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, don't eat from that tree. If you eat from that tree, you shall surely die. Now look how God gave them a choice, and he said, if you choose to eat from that tree, you will surely die. How many know that God hastens his word to perform it? How many know that God watches over his word to perform it? How many know that when God speaks a word, he don't go back on his word? God means business when it comes to his word. God is not man that he should lie. So when he told them, this is what's going to happen when you eat from this tree, he gave them a choice. He said, I'm giving you the right to decide. Come on, let's quit putting it over on God and say, well, God, if you had a said, I wouldn't have done, or the devil made me do it. No, all of us in here have a choice. God give all of us a choice. We have the right to choose. We have the right to choose from light and darkness. We have that right because God has given us that ability and that right. I don't know about you, even, you know, when you get ready in the morning, you have the right to choose what you're going to put on. You have the right to choose how your day is going to go. God give us those rights to choose. He has given us the will, and God is not going to go outside of our will. You know how we say, well, God, if you don't want me to do that, knock on wood. Well, God, if you don't want me to do this, God, show me a sign. We always put stuff before God, but God already told us what we should and should not do, and it's left up to us to not do it. So when God was taking me through the word of God and he was showing me so many examples of how he gave the people a choice, and when I was reading these examples, I'm like, wow, God, it's not like you didn't give them a choice. You gave them the right to choose, and I love that about God because when we choose his way, we always end up with blessings and not curses. When we look at the blessings, and he told us what the blessings was, he said, but you got to diligently obey my voice and keep all my commands. How many knew that God knew we couldn't keep all those commands? He knew that we couldn't do it, so that's why he sent Jesus. But he gave us those blessings of saying you can be the head and not the tail. You can be above and not beneath. Look how he was putting them in twos. He was letting us know this is what these blessings are, but then when you don't obey my word, these are the curses that come behind what you don't obey. And see, what we miss out on is we can do the crime, but we don't want to do the time. And I'm here to tell you that when God tells you something and you don't do it, you're going to pay the cost for what you didn't do. And it ain't God bringing it on you. It's you bringing it on yourself because you knew what God told you not to do. And the thing is, we always come up with something. I don't know about you. If God tell me not to eat something, and all of a sudden the devil say, now you know you can go ahead and eat a little piece. You don't have to take the whole thing. Just go ahead and taste a little piece of that. That little piece ain't going to hurt you. But God told me don't eat it. But the devil's saying, now, just go ahead. That ain't going to hurt you. Just pinch off a little piece. Before you know it, all is gone. Only thing the devil needed was for you to take a little bite. And once you took that little bite, you said, oh, this is good. You know, I'll be all right. And then the next day you laid out in the bed because the body don't feel good because God told you not to take it because he knew it was something wrong with it. But you took food over God. We got people taking food over God. You know what not to eat, but you choose to eat it. Now, some people, everything that God created is good. Everything he created. But he didn't tell us to gorge out on what he created either. You know how, this is how it started out, and God is taking me here for a reason. This is how it started out. We'll start out saying, you know what, a little bit. I'm just going to take a little bit, and all of a sudden it's a lot. Do you know your stomach scratch by how much you eat? And the bigger it scratched, the more you got to eat to fill it up. Whatever you put in there, that's what your flesh is looking for. Now, that's how you know when you're on a fast. When you're on a fast for God and that flesh is cutting up so much, it feels like it want to faint, it's going through different changes and going through different things, and all of a sudden you say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get that flesh, these chocolate chip cookies, because if I don't, I'm going to die trying. So this is what we do. We give in to the flesh, but God gave us a choice of what not to do. When God gave us good things, because the Bible says everything that God created is good, but he didn't tell us to indulge ourselves or overeat with the things that he has given us. So God began to show me as well, when I was looking at, you have a choice. He took me back to the Garden of Eden, but then after he took me through Deuteronomy, he took me to Joshua. Now remember, Joshua was up under Moses' command, but Moses was getting ready to die, and God was putting Joshua in his place. So as God was preparing Joshua, he was telling Joshua the same thing he was telling Moses. So when Joshua got ready to leave, this is what he was telling the people. He was giving them a choice. He said, you can either serve the gods that your fathers served, or you can serve the gods, you know, in the land that we're in of the Amalekites or Amorites. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua was giving them a choice right then of who they're going to serve. How many know we can't serve two masters? And some of us are trying to serve two masters. We're trying to serve the devil, and we're trying to serve God. You can't serve two masters. You have to make that choice. And the thing that hurts so bad, when God tells us to choose life, when he tells us to choose life and we choose the opposite, we go through for the choosing that we have chose, and it takes us laying on our backs. It takes us going through something to know that God is God. This is when you get people's attention. When people are high and arrogant, they don't want to hear what you got to say. But when they're laying flat on their back and they're looking up, they ain't got no other way but to look up. Because some of them can't even roll over with the consequences that come behind the decisions that they make. You know, the first thing that people say, oh, Lord, oh, God, help me. He gave you all that time. He gave you the choice, but you choose the world over him. You choose what you wanted to do over what God told you to do. But Joshua was telling them, I have to give you this choice. See, we all have to give people a choice, because in life, you just can't tell them one thing without telling them the other. Because if you don't, they're going to run into the thing that you didn't tell them, and then when they run into that and you didn't give them a choice, then they're going to say, why didn't you tell me this? This is why we cannot compromise. When you see people going in the wrong direction, it is your job, if you're a child of God, if you are part of the kingdom of God, it is your job to tell them what the word of God is saying. They have to make that choice. You can't make that choice for them. But it's not like they didn't know. They didn't go in there blindly, because you told them the truth. And the reason why you told them the truth, because knowing the truth is what's going to make them free. But you can know it, but if you don't continue in it, then you're not free. This is why God said, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He was telling them, I don't want you to be entangled with the yoke of bondage, because you're free. So if you know if you're free, then why are you going back in bondage? See, he gives you a choice. Either you want to be free or you want to be in bondage. So when God was showing me other stuff in the Bible, and I'm like, wow, God, it's set out right here for us to see. He took me to old King Saul. Y'all know King Saul, how the people wanted themselves a king, and they already had a king, did they not? They had God, first of all. He was King of Kings. He was Lord of Lords. They had Samuel, but then y'all know Samuel was giving his kids leeway, and they didn't like what his children was doing, so they saw everybody else was a king, so they said, we want a king. Okay, God gave them a king. And the first task of that king that he gave Saul, he said, Saul, I want you to literally destroy all the Amalekites. This is what he told him. And the thing that got me, he said, everything. I want you to destroy man, women, children. I want you to destroy the animals. I want everything to be literally destroyed. Why? Because God knew that if they didn't do this, these things was going to come right back at them. So Saul went in. And when he went in, he didn't obey the word of the Lord. Matter of fact, he was saving the king. He brought the king out. The people bought the good of the animals out and all of this stuff. So God began to tell Samuel about Saul, about what Saul had done. He said, you know, it repented him from making Saul king, because Saul was disobeying him. So when Samuel went to Saul, how many know we have an excuse? Look at your neighbor, say, I have an excuse. Say, I always have an excuse. The main excuse is, it ain't my fault. It's not my fault, y'all. So this is what Saul was saying when Samuel came to him in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Listen at this, what he was saying in 15, chapter 15, verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. So God began to tell Saul how, Samuel began to tell Saul how when he was little in his own sight, that God made him the head of the tribes of Israel and anointed thee king over Israel. Let me stop right there. Do anybody in here know how precious an anointing is over your life? Do anybody know how precious an anointing is over your life? When God anoints you for something, that means God is entrusting you with what he have anointed you with. That means that when they took out that oil, they didn't just take out that oil just to take out that oil. That oil was smeared on these people to let them know this is representing you being set apart, sanctified, made holy, made fit to do a service for the Lord. So that's what happened to Saul. God had set him apart. Saul was different. And guess what? The people knew Saul was different. How did they know Saul was different? Because Saul never prophesied before. But because of the anointing that was on his life, they knew that he had a call on his life. Not only was he king, but God proved to them that the anointing was present upon King Saul. But then Samuel began to tell him, was that not enough? You were little in their eyes, but God brought you forth, and I'm paraphrasing it. And this is what Saul had a nerve to say. And this is what he said in verse 19. He said, wherefore then thou did not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Now listen what he said. But the people took of the spoil. So he began to tell him about the people. But then Samuel began to tell him, have God delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice than obeying the voice of the Lord? See, this is what we do. We think we can fast our way out of it, Jennifer. We think we can pray in tongues and get our way out of what God told us. Come on, somebody. Some of you in here are going on a fast, knowing you didn't do what God told you to do, and you say, well, I'm going to fast my way out of it. Fasting ain't going to get you out of it. See, because you miss God. And when you miss God, you go through the consequences of not doing what God told you to do. And some people say, well, I thought God was a loving God. I thought we were up under grace. Yeah, you up under grace, but you don't abuse the grace of God. If you know that God have set you free, and he has given you grace, he has given you his mercy, you don't abuse his grace and mercy because he already forgive you for past, present, and future sins. You don't go do what he told you not to do just because God have already pardoned that sin. So this is what Saul did. And the thing that got me with Saul, he said the people. I like this in this other verse here. Guess what happened to him? It says in verse 22, and Samuel says, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of God. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So look what he went into for not obeying God. Rebellion, stubbornness, and it came as iniquity and a sin of witchcraft. He had all of this coming upon him because he would not obey what God told him to do. Now, this is the thing that I was looking at. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Now, listen at this. I have sinned. He admitted his sin, didn't he? He admitted that he had sinned, he had transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words because, listen why he did it. I feared the people and obeyed their voice. How many of us have more respect for man than you have for God? This is what Saul did. He said, I feared the people, so meaning that You honored them more than you honored me. Now I'm going to take the kingdom away from you, Saul. Saul was very embarrassed. He was very embarrassed. So what he was asking Samuel to do, he was saying, let me read this part to you. This is how embarrassed he was. Y'all know he took and tore the skirt of Samuel's clothing, and that's when the kingdom was rent from him. And this is what he was saying. And Samuel said unto Saul, okay, wait a minute. I want to get to the part where, verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Why was Saul doing that? Because he wanted the people seeing him worshiping the Lord so he wouldn't look bad in the people's eyes, but yet he was wrong. See, this is the thing. God knows your heart. He knows what you're doing is not right, and Saul knew what he was doing was not right. But what was Saul trying to do? He was trying to come up with his way of being right outside of God, and God sent somebody to him to let him know, no, it ain't going to happen. This is what God said. God is going to do what he said, Saul. And on down in that other verse, it said, in verse 29, he said that, verse 28, the Lord have rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and have given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. That's God. Meaning that what he has said to you this day, this is what he's going to do. What am I saying? The choice is yours. You have the decision to make the right choice. God has given you the right to decide what you're going to do. See, what was happening to Saul, he was looking more at the people than he was looking at God. Come on, all of us are guilty. We'll look at people, we'll look at our husband, we'll look at our dad, our mom, our grandmother, our grandfather, and we rather bow down to them than bow down to God because we're more scared of them than we are God. Where's the relationship? Because when you have a relationship with God, it don't matter whoever it is. God said, you speak truth in love. The choice is yours. It's time out for foolishness. It's time out for compromising. It's time out for the ones that God have chosen, the ones that God have called to go out and speak truth no matter what the consequences are. You're supposed to love God more than you love man. Then God began to take me again through the word of God. I'm telling you, God will let them roll. He was letting them roll so much I had to put, I said, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute, because, you know, people be ready to go, but I have to get all of this out to let y'all know what God is saying. Go with me to 1 Chronicles, the 21st verse. Y'all remember David, right? Was David not the one he chose to be king? David was the one that was a man after whose heart? After God's heart. Before I go to 1 Chronicles, God is reminding me of how David had a choice. He should have went to battle, but he stayed home. And what did he end up doing? Sleeping with Bathsheba. What happened when he slept with Bathsheba? He had to pay the price of what he done, right? But God gave him a choice. He knew that was another man's wife. He knew that. So what did David do? He tried to keep covering up his sin. That's what we try to do. We try to cover it up. But I'm here to tell you, God knows the intent of your heart. You can cover up all you want. You can say whatever you want, but God knows your heart. So here goes David again. Remember, David was the one that was anointed to be king, right? It says here in First Chronicles chapter 21, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, some people say, what's wrong with that? Because David never numbered Israel in his battle. He depended on God. He didn't go count all his men. Because he knew the battle was already won because God was on his side. This is the same David apostle who said, why are you running from this uncircumcised Philistine? David was one man, a little man, up against this big Goliath, and he was talking junk to Goliath. And so David, he ended up telling Joab, which was his right-hand man, he said, I want you to go out and number Israel. Now check this out with Joab. Joab knew it wasn't right for him to do it. But because David was king, he obeyed David, the one that was in authority. He obeyed him. And he kept telling him, you know, we never have done this before, my Lord, because God has always been on our side. But Joab went and obeyed David. Guess what? After Joab went and obeyed David, guess what God did? God ended up smoting Israel because of David's decision that David made not to trust him. And then God end up sending a seer, which means a prophet, to give David three choices. He said, you tell me which one of these you want me to do. Gave him three choices. Two of those choices was dealing with man. The third choice was dealing with God coming in there and bringing pestilence. And you know what David said? I'd rather take you, God, over man. Because he's saying, I trust you more than man. Laugh at that, apostle. He wanted to take God over man, but he chose to number Israel over God. So David had to go through those consequences, and David began to cry out to God on the behalf of the people and say, God, it wasn't the people, it was me. God, just deal with me. God sent an angel up in there, and that angel was doing some damage. You hear me? And then immediately God saw all that was being done, and it repented God, and he told the angel to, you know, to stop. But David still had to pray before God. He had to still build him an altar because God wasn't playing. So what am I saying in this house today? The choice is yours. When you know to do right and you choose not to do right, the Bible says in James 4, it is considered sin. When you know truth and you choose not to do truth, now don't think you're going to get over easy and just go ahead and repent and turn. God already forgave you, but you're going through what you did and you should not have done. See, this is the problem. People think they're not going to go through because they repent. Oh, yes, you is. Yes, you are. So then when God began to show me David, God began to take me to the New Testament. I'm like, wow, God, it's all over the Word of God. We don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse for what we do because the Bible tells us what to do and what not to do. And, y'all, you know what's so good about God? He put the commandments in our hearts. A sinner still have a chance, apostle. God still give them a chance to know the difference from right and wrong. You cannot say you didn't know. You cannot say that because God wrote the laws in your heart to let you know, do not do this, do not murder, do not steal. It's all there. So nobody shouldn't have to tell you that, you know, that's wrong. You already know it's wrong. A child know when they get up an age of accountability what to do is right or what to do is wrong. There's nobody in this place that's at an age of accountability that can say it wasn't my fault. Because you knew that you were doing something that you should not have been doing. But you chose to do it because everybody else was doing it. Everybody else wear their pants like that, but your mom and daddy told you to pull up your pants. But you choose to go wear them pants down here and walking like a duck, wobbling just like a duck. And this is what's so happening, y'all. Wobbling like a duck with a belt on. Have y'all ever seen such food? Got the belt on and got it down here by the hips and going on like that. And I'm saying to myself, pull up your pants, boy. It ain't like you ain't got no belt. And then some of them buy them yay big. And then going to still draw them up and walk like a duck. What kind of foolishness is that? Let me tell you something. You as a parent, this is what I told my son. Because when they get up there in the high school years, y'all, oh, man, everything begins to change. You know, when you get out of them elementary, but thank you, Holy Ghost. God is saying it's in elementary now. Hey, I remember when we was growing up, you didn't hit certain stuff until you got in middle. You know, you felt wrong when you got to middle school. When you was in elementary, you were just like a little baby, you know. But now it's all over. I remember my son come in the house and his pants all down, and I'm seeing his behind. I'm just sitting up there looking at him. I said, you know what, boy? I said, if you want to choose to wear them pants like that, that's up to you, but I'm taking all your underwear because if you want to show your butt, show it all of it. I said, if you want to show your butt, show all of it. So to keep him from not being embarrassed, I said, I'm going to take every bit of underwear you got. Go to school like that. If that's how you want to look. So he would come and have them pants up. I said, boy, I ain't playing with you.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple. Post Office Box 1042, Bergall, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.